Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Tonight, I want to share with you a prescription. Can I give you a prescription? A prescription for happiness found in the Word of the Lord. Happiness, I know, comes in different shapes and forms. Happiness, I know, comes in different timings and times in your life and seasons. Happiness comes with different activities that you enter into and are involved in. But real happiness is when you finally understand what the source of happiness is all about. There isn't a person in this building tonight that probably, if they stopped and thought about things, wouldn't find themselves faced with some unusual problems. The economy, the government, the worldwide economy, the situations about jobs and lost jobs and money that's not spending like it used to spend or even having like it used to have. I mean, there's people's business that are good in here. There's also people's business that are not good in here and that are failing. And I mean, it's a tough time. And I don't think there's anybody in their right mind that could not look at the situations of the world around us and say, you know, there's problems out there. We'd all agree that there's problems out there. I think this is so important for you to hear. There may be problems out there, but the problem solver is in here. And that's our heart. And I'm not burying my head in the sand like some ostrich. I've said that to you before. I realize there's problems. I am absolutely putting my heart in Christ, the answer to the problems. And when my answer, oh, you got to hear this. When my answer, one more time, when my answer becomes bigger than the problem, then the problem ceases to exist. And when you and I have a problem that we meditate on and think about over and over, over and over, over and over, and what you think about all the time is what's going to become first and foremost in your heart and in your life. And you're going to find yourself with these problems down, depressed, hopeless, discouraged, frustrated, wondering how in the world God can bless you because these problems are so real and so big. Instead of meditating, putting your heart in Christ over these problems. I was reading just the other day and read extensively today the book of James. James is the half-brother of Jesus. You might as well go there with me. I want to share something with you. He is the senior pastor of the Church of Jerusalem. Can you imagine this? Now listen to what I'm going to say to you. He is the half-brother of Jesus. Different fathers, of course. He is also the senior pastor of one of the greatest churches that ever was on the planet, the Church of Jerusalem. And the Church of Jerusalem now is experiencing, just like you and just like me, harsh, hard times. Difficult to understand, difficult to see, and difficult to adhere to, and difficult to see past. Hard and harsh times. And James has this responsibility of the Holy Spirit to write to a church that's persecuted, that's scattered, that's finding pressures in their life. And he writes these words in the very first chapter. The very first thing he really comes out and says in verse number 2 of the first chapter is these words, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." And he goes on to make some great statements, but tonight I just want to, for you that are here tonight and you sometimes feel the weight of the pressure, and I don't blame you. This is a pressure-filled time. Nobody's wanting to put condemnation on you. For those of you that are feeling the pressures of this time, and those of you that at times, you know, you don't know what quite to do and how to do and how to act, and it seems like your joy and happiness has been robbed from you. This is for you, which could be for all of us. count it all joy when you fall into various trials. In other words, when you've got a lot of different problems coming at you. And man, our society today is not much different than theirs, other than the fact that we're not persecuted like they were. And they're finding themselves in a place where here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, through the handwriting of James, comes across and he says, count it all. In other words, he says, add up the facts about what you're really all about. And it's an accounting term, which means to figure out what you really are and start rehearsing that instead of the problems that you have. Add up the facts. For all of us, we could add up a lot of facts. I remember Rick over the weekend, you know, we could add up the facts. Rick, you're saved, going to heaven. You're walking, you're doing good, you're strong, best part, you got retirement now. Hallelujah. You know, and there's lots of facts. Add up the facts. God's on my side. God washed my sins away. God gives me promises, gives me His word. God's got heaven waiting for me when it's all over. God's building a mansion for me. It may be tough today, but I've got my eyes on the King of Glory, the one who won't let me down, won't let me fail. He'll heal me if I'm sick. He's given me the greatest walk I could ever have on this planet today. And what we do is we meditate the problem more than we meditate the solution. And when we meditate the problem more than we meditate the solution, and here's how you can tell, you are never really satisfied. And when you're never really satisfied, you are really meditating the problem more than you're meditating the solution. When you meditate the solution more than the problem, you will find yourself being satisfied all the time, all the time. You say, Pastor Tim, you don't understand. You want me to start putting my mind on Christ, but there's a real world I live in. Yes, but I'm here to tell you something. If you call yourself a Christian, there is a real God that lives inside of us. And I'm not telling you not to deny the truth. Yes, there's a world of problems out there, but man, I'm in the world, but not of it. And yes, I'm not telling you to put your head in the sand like an ostrich and ignore the problems, but I'm telling you that there's a solution. And what ought to make your heart happy is the solution, not the problems. The problems will drive you down. And that's where we fail all the time, is where we're putting our mind. Count it all. Add up the facts. Let me tell you something. Every day I have to take that prescription. Sometimes 4 or 5 times a day. I ought to say, man, I got the best wife in the whole world. A woman loves me and I love her. I got great kids. I got a great church. I get to praise God's holy name. I get to share the word of God. I get to read the word of God. I get to listen to the Holy Spirit. I get to do all. And at the end of the day, man, all of a sudden the news comes, you know, CNN, Fox News, and everybody that's out there, man, they just dump their garbage on us. And then all of a sudden you go to work and you got a secular job and you got a secular boss and he's dumping his garbage on you. And the people you're around are dumping their garbage on you. I got to know without a shadow of a doubt, man, count it all joy. I can't just sit back and start calculating and do nothing. I got to calculate every day that junk is dumped on me. Let me say it again. Daily, I have got to calculate the blessings that God has given me. If I don't, I fall into a pity party and a trap, wondering where in the world God is. And then I join that vast majority of people call themselves Christians and say, well, I did talk to God about it. But did you do anything about it? Are you waiting for God to wave some magic wand over your head so you don't have problems? Or do you get rid of the problems because your God is bigger than your problems? That's what He's designed this to be. He never came along and said, listen, I'll eliminate you from the problems. He said, my grace, 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, my grace is sufficient. My power is greater. My grace is sufficient. He never removed Paul from the problems of the thorns in the flesh. Never removed Paul the problems out of Paul's life. We're waiting for God to come and remove the problems. The moment you get off the problem and get on God, the problem's been removed. That is biblical truth. And we're all waiting for something else. Maybe if I go to church more, I'll get blessed. You don't go to church just to get blessed. You go to church to find out how to act so you can get into the flow of the Spirit so that the Spirit can pour out His blessings on you. Is anybody listening? So, there's all kinds of things we could all think of to count up every day of our life. All kinds of them. The fact that you're breathing. The fact you got a heartbeat. Are you listening? You know, the fact you didn't walk in here naked. Thank God you didn't walk in here naked. If you do, we're going to throw you out. You know, there's all kinds of things we could thank God for. And today, I just thought I'd give you some things that are kind of different to think about. Write these things down. They're good for you. What we should add up, if we're going to add up the facts about our life. Today, and I love this, every one of these could start with today. Today is a day of rest and peace. Wait a minute. That means I have rest and peace available to me today. Well, wait a minute. If my loan comes through for my house, I'll have rest and peace. No, no. Rest and peace first, then these things add up. Wait a minute. If I get a job, no, no. Rest and peace doesn't come from the job. Never been designed for you to get rest and peace from the job. Well, if I have money in my bank account, if I have checking account money, if I pay my bills on time, I have rest and peace. Not until you have real rest and peace when it comes from Jesus Christ. And that's why Matthew, the 11th chapter, just check it out for yourself. It says, come. I like these things. To me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Listen to this. Jesus says, and I will give you what? Rest. But you got to do something. You got to come to Him. And who are the people that are coming to Him that are laboring and that are heavy laden? In other words, the world has just dumped on you. But if you'll get off of what's been dumped on you and get on who He is, He says, I'll give you rest. Verse number 29 comes along. Listen to verse number 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest where? In your souls. Your rest doesn't come from what you have in your pocket. Your rest doesn't come from your job or what car you drive. Or whether there's another bailout, of which we never get any of. Your rest comes from Jesus. Verse 30 concludes it. Listen to what verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden. Is that cool? Is light? In other words, come to me, I'll make life easy. But what we do is we go to church. And you need to find out that you need to go to Him. And you could go to church and during the day be going to Him. And then you have no problems. God's got it all under control. Add up the facts. You live in a world where rest and peace is yours for the taking. The question is whether you'll take it. Are you waiting for someone with a magic wand to wave over your head? Doesn't work that way. You're going to have to get into Jesus. He is the source of rest and peace. I love what it says in John 14, 27. Peace, Jesus speaking here. Peace I leave with you. My peace, I give it to you. Not as the world gives to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Neither let it be afraid. Why? Because God says, I'm the one and the source of peace. I love that. Don't you guys? Today, for every one of you that'll just simply turn the page from your problem, put your heart on Jesus, who is the answer to the problem, rest in peace is on your way. That fast. You say, my checkbook still says I'm broke. Can I tell you something? Doesn't matter. You still have rest and peace. Now, you can be troubled, be under torture, have all kinds of problems, and have a checkbook that says you got zero balance. Or you can have peace and rest and have joy in your life and have a checkbook that says you have zero balance. One's a whole lot better than the other, amen? And it comes from Jesus. Because when you have peace and joy in Jesus, I don't give a flip about checkbook. I know he'll take care of all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We're talking about something that's wonderful, what we should do or what we should add up. Are we talking about that? Today, I've got his keys. That's number two. I've got his keys. Now, some of you may not understand what that means. When God said he's going to give you the keys to the kingdom, and we'll see it in a minute, what he says is that I'm giving you the access code. And in those days, they didn't need access codes. They just had keys. In order to unlock a situation and get it free, you have to today have an access code. If you knew my PIN number, well, you could access the $200 that's there and just have yourself a rip-roaring time. You know what I'm saying? And if you knew how to get into my computer with an access code, you know, then you could find out how dumb I really am and this, how much this is really God. Because you have the access code. It unlocks everything. Without an access code, in the days of Jesus, it was a key. It's the same exact thing. The key had a certain formula made into the key that when you turned it, it turned certain levels. Put those things in and turn them in, it turns everything on. A key. And I have the key to his kingdom. I don't have the access code just to my bank account. I don't have the access code to your bank account, thank God. I have the access code to his way of doing things. His life, his future, his extreme love, mercy, and grace. I have the access code to his power, his promises. I have the access code to heaven instead of hell. I have the access code to a future instead of no future. Because God gives me an access code. It's called the key to the kingdom. Listen to what it says. It's kind of a neat little verse in Matthew, the 16th chapter. You might as well just turn there. You're already in Matthew. Anyway, take a look at Matthew, the 16th chapter. Let's look at it together. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, here's what Jesus says about that wonderful subject. Matthew 16:19 says these words. Listen to this. It says, "And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven," Jesus speaking. "And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thing you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." In other words, you can lock it up or you can let it go. Now, I don't know about you, but it's taken the subject, if you will, of just being happy. That means I can take the subject of just being happy in my life every day with the joy of the Lord that becomes my strength. Being happy every day. Facing the problems of the world and going down the aisle at the store being happy. Here's how. Because I've got the access code. And he says with the access code, I can lock up whatever I want on earth and I can loosen anything I want on earth. So therefore, I can lock up happiness. Or I can lose it. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. I can do this because I got the keys to the kingdom. Is anybody listening? Not everybody can use them. You got to be born again, spirit-filled. You got to have God's Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Cause it to be right, working well in your life. You have access. I don't know about you, but adding up the facts, it tells me I've got the access code to God's ways. It's pretty darn exciting. I mean, God could have set me free, could have washed my sins away, said I'm going to heaven, and left me here without any access. And find myself absolutely lost, not knowing what to do, how to do it, when to do it, what's it all about. Having no ability to go somewhere and get something done. I now have the ability to go somewhere and get something done with God. Some of you got access codes with your computers. You can go somewhere and get something done. You can get on your computer and you can go search the world. But guess what? That's great. But here's an access code that takes you to the heavens of God. And man, that doesn't come cheap. It came at the cost of Jesus Christ. I've got an access code to the things of God. I don't have to be broke down, busted, disgusted. I don't have to be a failure. I don't have to be down. I have to stay down. I'm in the world, but not of the world. I've got God on my side. I will lock it up or I will let it go. And I choose to let it go in my life. Well, you don't understand my parents. I don't care about your parents. And you should stop thinking about your parents and how much they screwed you over. My goodness sakes alive. We've all had parents or friends or people that have let us down. Stop going there all the time. It's all what you're thinking about. You know this? Right here, cast down imaginations, the Bible says, that exalt themselves above the knowledge of what God said. God said, I've given you the keys. You can lock it up or loose it up or you can tear it down and throw it away. It's your call. Don't go belly aching to God. I got nothing, God. I ain't got nothing. I talked to someone the other day. In fact, today alone, I talked to people who are tithers, people who are not tithers. By the way, they both go to church. They're both saved. Today, a whole group of people, somehow it just happened. Today was the day. I mean, these people have nothing but their tithers. Never missed even a little bit above. And they say, I have no problems. I got no problem, got no problem. Other people are Christians, and they give every now and then and call it a tithe. And they are down, discouraged, frustrated. Why? Because they just bound up themselves. When one had the keys to unlock the future, and they didn't use them. So you could take the access code, sit there and say, I got the access code, do nothing with it. Do all the wrong stuff and expect, well, I got the access code. Why didn't it happen? Because you better put it in the right way. If I put in my PIN number the wrong way, even my bank's smart enough not to give me any money. My goodness, you think God's smarter than a bank? I think so. So I put in the wrong access code. I'm a Christian. That ain't going to cut it. You got to punch in the rest of the access code. It just works that way, guys. Somebody needs to love us enough to tell us the truth. What we should add up. Add up the facts about your life every day, every hour of every day if you need to. I like this one. Power over evil. Evil no longer. I should rejoice because the devil doesn't tell me what to do anymore. Now, he tells me what to do, but the best part of it is I don't have to do it. He always tells you what to do. Have you noticed since you got saved, he hasn't stopped? It's not like, well, wait a minute, I'm saved. How come you're still hanging around? Because he knows he's going to wear you down. But guess what? My Bible says I've got power over evil. I don't have to put up with that. I don't have to do it. Before, he had like a ring in my nose. You know what I'm talking about. Come on. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Let me tell you something. Now it comes around, I'll smoke him. I have to put up with that stuff. I got power over evil. Doesn't mean I use the power. Most Christians I know don't even use the power. They still get slapped around by the devil. That's why you see so many Christians that are belly aching, bawling, squalling, crying all the time. It's like, I don't know what happened. Nothing ever really happened in my life. Oh, shut up and get on the word. Tell the devil to go to hell. Stop listening to him. Stop doing it. Here, someone says, well, how do I stop these bad habits? How do I stop these problems? I got the keys to the kingdom. Here's how you stop. Stop it! Put your foot down and say, no! Now watch this. I'm not going there anymore. I'm not going. Get away from me. I've said no. Most people say, I said no today. Today's no. Tomorrow. Well, you never know. Come on, you know you're laughing because you know it's true. And 3 days from now, it's like how many pounds have we gained since our resolution of New Year's? My goodness, you know what I'm talking about. I got power. I rejoice. Add it up as a truth. Man, I'm happy. Devil doesn't control me. I control it. I like what it says in Luke 10:19. It says, behold, I give you authority. Jesus is talking again. I give you authority. Authority to do nothing. Authority to take authority. If I give you authority, you don't have authority. That's your fault. If I give you authority and you don't use authority, it's your fault. You have authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So we're worried about the world. We're worried about the economy. What does that verse say? Don't tell me this economic system's from God. It's from the pit of hell. It's putting a burden on the children's children, but guess what? My children's children's children will not participate. Why? Because God gave me authority. I'll put up a last one for today. Is that okay? We're talking about adding up the facts. Man, you can stop. You ought to sit down. One side of a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle. Things that are good that God's done for me, just write them down. I got good complexion. And then on the other side, bad things. I'm a little overweight. I got a great car. Got a great husband. I got a dog that loves me. Jesus loves me. Wash me clean. Write them all down and see how many are on the one side. Then start going through those every day when you feel the weight of the world on you. Let me tell you something. One side will hardly have anything. It's because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, taking authority over demonic activity. We're going along, letting it stay in our house. Let me tell you something. Kick it out. Now, here's the last one. Here's what we ought to be adding up. I like this one. Every day, he meets my daily needs. Every day, I don't care what happens. I want you to know something. You had no money in your bank. You still got a belly full of food. You know, you still probably have that house roof over your house. You still have clothes. You have everything. I mean, someone told me that 70% of the world went to sleep last night with less than a bowl of rice in their stomach from the entire day. We Americans have to invest in Jenny Craig. Jenny Craig has never made more money in the middle of a recession. Why? Because people don't know how to do number one, rest in peace is in us. So we get nervous and we eat it right now. And then we call Jenny because we don't have any money. Is that not true? He meets my needs every day. Every day he meets my needs. Every day he meets Deborah's needs. Every day he meets my kids' needs. And let me tell you something, if I don't see it being met that day, it'll be met tomorrow. That doesn't mean he's not working on my behalf. It's every day he meets my needs. I love this verse. I found this verse. What a cool verse. Psalms 68, verse number 19. Listen to this. Pop it up. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits. I mean, if you didn't know anything else, and you had nothing else on your list of good things, guys, you got to write that one down. Daily loads. I didn't say just daily. Get loads. Most people don't know it's there. If you don't know it's there, how can you use it? If I give you $1 million, you know how to access it. What good is it? You don't know what bank it's in. You don't know how to get it out of the bank. You don't know how to get it out of the bank that I gave it to you in to put it in your bank. Won't do you one bit of good. You spend the rest of your life looking for it. But if you know how to access it and operate in it, guess what? He loads. Some of you are loaded, man, with benefits. You don't even know it. Oh, God, I got a lot stored up, especially if you're tithers. Don't give me this stuff. You're not a tither. You don't have a lot of benefits. I got a lot invested coming back. God's going to bless me. Are you listening to me? You say, well, the business isn't good now. I don't give a flip about the business. What's the business got to do with money? God says, men shall give unto your bosom. Didn't say your business will be good. Men shall, I'm telling you, listen to this. He daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation. Whew, that's good news. Tonight, add up the facts about who you are instead of all the negative junk and garbage the devil, whose evil tells you how bad you are. If you got God, you got everything. You got God, you got a future. You got God, you got a destiny. You got God, you got a purpose. You got God, you got life. You got God, he's going to do something great. And he's working on your behalf, and daily he's adding to your benefit load. I like what Sam said last week. Most of us had 403K. What is it called, Debbie? 401Ks. Now we just got Ks. But guess what? I don't care what the world gives me. God says he's adding daily. My benefit load. Hey, let me tell you something. You can walk out of here tonight and forget everything I just said. Go ahead and do it. It's up to you. Or you could start doing what they did, adding up the facts. Count it all joy. Whatever you're counting on every day and counting up ought to lead to one word called joy. If it doesn't lead to joy, you're adding up the wrong facts. And the best thing to do is just shut up until you learn how to add up the facts. If God spoke to you tonight, give the Lord a great big praise. Hear that? Truth, 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 truth. Isn't that great? Simple stuff. This is what you live with every day of your life. This is what it's all about. Simple stuff. Ooh, I love it.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.